Virginia Senator Mark Warner is the leading force behind a bill that would reduce redundant or unnecessary reports by federal agencies. The 2014 Government Reports Elimination Act would kill, or at least modify, more than 50 reports that agencies produce annually for Congress. Now, that bill has made its way through both the House and Senate. I spoke with him about the bill and also the pressing issues Congress faces when it comes back after the November midterms.
We are going to be introducing new legislation that I think takes a crack at about another 60 of these. When we go through the process, we start with a large number and then various committees whittle them down. But in an age when we're asking our federal workforce to do more with less resources, eliminating some of the overly burdensome reporting requirements is both a relief to our federal workforce and oftentimes a relief to some of the industries that are regulated.
All right. So what about the House? Any indication? I mean, they've been pretty harsh.
The House has actually passed similar legislation. Again, we started with a much larger number. I believe the number was well in excess of 100. We ended up with 50. So in this business, it's sometimes two steps forward, one step back. We've made some progress. We've got a new list that OMB has come up with that we're going to take another run at, and we're just going to keep going at this. I mean, the portfolio that I'm trying to carve out as senator around government performance is an area that some folks roll their eyes about, but as somebody who was proud when I was governor of Virginia, was named best managed state, it's attention to this kind of detail that ends up giving taxpayers and your workforce better value for the dollar. So I'm proud of the fact that I passed the legislation, GPRA, the Government Performance Results Modernization Act, that required agencies to report on a regular basis their top policy agenda, their top goals, so that you can actually focus their goals as opposed to having way too many, which is a horribly bad management technique. And what I particularly like about GPRA is finally requiring government agencies to report not only their most successful programs, but their least successful programs, a very useful tool for policymakers when we're looking at elimination or consolidation. And then more recently, working with Congressman Darrell Issa, we passed the data bill, which really goes at the heart of the quality of data we get from the federal government. It looks at trying to consolidate our various different financial reporting systems. Ultimately, we hope that a taxpayer should be able to Google their tax dollar and follow it all the way right down to the programmatic level. This will take a couple years to fully implement, but these are all moves in terms of transparency, in terms of utilization of big data, in terms of trying to cut back on some of the bureaucratic work that our federal employees are forced to do, sometimes work that, again, that's never looked at, to try to make this federal enterprise run more efficiently.
And zooming out a little bit, there's another bill concerning the senior executive service, which is, again, in the House. I'm not sure what chance it has in the Senate. But it seems to carry on the tradition started with the VA reform bill that passed just a couple of months ago that really puts a lot of, well, actually takes away civil service protections that have been long in place for VA senior executive service members. And now the House seems to want to extend this out. What's your feeling about that approach?
I've not looked specifically at that House bill. I was supportive of the efforts at the VA because based upon my own site visits to various VA facilities, based upon what seemed to be a cultural malaise, I think we needed to give the new secretary these kind of abilities to really demand accountability. I know there's an awful lot of good folks that work at the VA. Matter of fact, I hear reports from VA quasi-whistleblowers who point out challenges. So I'd like to see how this tool is used at the VA, get a little bit of experience here, and then I'll take a look at the House bill as well.
All right. And so then the other issue, of course, is we have a continuing resolution and the president will sign it. And so we're okay till December 11th. But anything could happen in the lame duck session, so to speak, after that. What are you hoping for with respect to some kind of budgetary continuation for the rest of the fiscal year?
Well, Tom, I think everyone who listens to news radio realizes that continuing resolutions is not the way we should be governing, you know, the federal government. The lack of certainty, the lack of predictability, whether you're on the inside or whether you're a contractor, is just bad, bad business. And I know some people are saying, well, the Congress may flip or the Senate may flip, so let's hope for political advantage. I've been a business guy longer than I've been in politics. That's bad business. My hope is when we get to December 11th, regardless what the makeup of the Senate looks like, that we pass an omnibus, that we pass the work of the appropriations committees, because on bill area after area, there was generally pretty good bipartisan support on the specific appropriations bill. So let's put that work to its test. Let the Senate and the Congress debate it. If they folks like myself and others have got amendments, have at it. But this continuation of a CR, which, again, as many of your listeners know, ends up leaving money in accounts sometimes where it's not needed, but where money that is needed, and the kind of bureaucratic and legalistic hoop jumping that has to go through to make sure that our dollars are spent where they should be is just horribly inefficient. So, you know, I'm of the mind omnibus in December regardless. I'm also of the mind, being now on the Finance Committee on the other half of the equation, that we also get knuckling down on tax reform so that we don't do the finance equivalent of the CR, which is continuing to do the extender policy. My belief is that if these provisions are good enough, they ought to be in the tax code on a permanent basis and not go through this charade of annual extension. So I remain optimistic that the Congress is going to get a little more functional post-November.
We're speaking with Virginia Senator Mark Warner, and I wanted to turn to the topic of ISIS and the U.S. response that's still really gelling. But Congress, it seemed as if Congress more or less held its nose, but went along with what the president wanted to do and try to put this coalition together and all the rest of it. What will you be watching for as this unfolds to make sure that either the policy stays on track or the battle against ISIS stays on track?
Well, I'm going to be looking at a couple of things. First of all, I didn't hold my nose on this. I think ISIL is a real threat. I sit on the Intelligence Committee. It is a threat in region. It is a threat to Europe. It is ultimately a threat to America. And the barbaric nature of the acts of this group goes really beyond the pale. And they are a type of terrorist almost unseen, because they butcher anyone, regardless of religion, who opposes their – I wouldn't even deem them by calling them a religious group. They're fanatic. What I'm going to be looking at is, as these troops and soldiers get trained up, both cost and efficiency of that mission, number one. Number two, I think, as the president has said, it's critically important that this not be an America-only fight. I think he was right to put enormous pressure on the Iraqis to have a government that's inclusive, and not for simply to for America to intervene in a Sunni-Shia civil war. So this Iraqi government that must include Sunni, Shia, and Kurd has to be continued. And quite honestly, I want to see the other states in the region, particularly the Gulf states, step up in a major way. Not this kind of, all right, we're going to slip you some money under the table, but we're not going to acknowledge that we're siding with the West. It's just unacceptable. ISIL is as grave, if not graver, threat to countries like Turkey, Qatar, UAE, and Saudi as they are to anywhere in Europe or North America. And these countries need to step up. So I'm glad we move forward with this. I think we need a full-fledged debate on a broader utilization of force come November. I actually wouldn't mind if Congress would have stayed in session and had that debate now, but I think the most important things are we continue to move forward and that we have all hands on deck building this coalition.
Now, it's interesting that the federal CIO has left to bring this down to earth again to go help with the USAID, and he's going to be involved in the Ebola battle, which is kind of the other front that the military is involved in now. And so looking at IT and that whole cybersecurity complex, can we pretty much say that what's going to be done legislatively has been done, and that there's probably – that's a dead horse at this point?
No, Tom. I think – I hope you're wrong. I believe you're wrong. The Intelligence Committee passed out a broad bipartisan bill. It wasn't perfect, but would allow both the voluntary information sharing, the single portal of use of DHS, and – the legal protections to allow companies to share, with the threat that both governmental and private entities are under from cyber attack right now, I believe it is critical that Congress acts. Again, we can debate. Some of us would have perhaps said we need stronger standards, stricter standards. I would have probably fallen in that camp. But let's take what we've got, which is a broad bipartisan bill, put it on the books, and then we can come back and evolve and correct. This is going to be an area that is going to be constantly changing. We see it in terms of the security threats to commercial firms. We've seen it in some of the the breaches that have taken place on government contractors as well. So, you know, I think it's important that we move beyond the president's executive order, which allows some of this sharing, but actually go ahead and give the legal protection and put this in law the way the Intelligence Committee has.